everybody, and welcome back. It is Tuesday, March the 2nd, 2021, Eastern Standard Time, 7 a.m., and I am delighted to be with you today, and I'm delighted that you are with me, no matter when you happen to be with me. Maybe you will be here live right now, or maybe you will be joining me sometime in the future, or maybe this will be entered as evidence in a courtroom. I hope not, because today I'm talking about something that is not a very popular message in much of the world, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Welcome to you, no matter when or where you are. Where we find ourselves today, we're making our way through Romans chapter 1. And yesterday we answered a question. And that question, of course, is what in the world is going on? As you look at the world around you and you see things unfolding and you see decisions and maybe you're scratching your head and you're saying, what happened to the world that I knew? Well, first off, I don't want to go down this road in particular, but you know, age tends to change things a little bit. But admittedly, over the past year or two, perhaps even older or even before that, let me put my watch on silent there. But over the past year or two, things seem to be increasing more and more, which is pretty wild because it seemed like even before that, things were kind of going crazy. But especially over the last few years, I don't know when the switch was. You know, it was almost like a switch was flipped. And, you know, a lot of times people make arguments against the slippery slope theory. You know what the slippery slope theory is? That if you let this one thing happen, then that starts you down this slope. And just if this thing happens, then this thing will happen and this thing will happen. Before you know it, you go sliding down the hill. People say that's not a fair argument. Really? Look at what's unfolding in the world around you and tell me that that's not a fair argument. I remember it wasn't too long ago that we were having discussions over issues of substance. And then a few years ago, somebody made the ludicrous notion that men should be allowed to go to women's bathrooms if they feel like a woman. And this was a thing that, you know, I think if you would have taken the most liberal person you could find in the United States 15 years ago, and you had said to them, hey, in 15 years, you're going to be arguing that men should be allowed to use the women's restroom, they would have said, that is ludicrous, okay? There is no way that we will be doing that. Yet, here we are. Now, let me be clear. This is not about a liberal and conservative kind of thing here. This is about a knowing God versus not knowing God kind of thing, because yesterday we saw the answer to the question, what in the world is going on? And the answer is Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who do what? Who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And this is it. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. If you want to know what's going on in the world around you, fools do foolish things. The end. But the reason people are fools, this is fool used in a biblical sense, okay? The reason that people are fools, according to God's word, is that they have rejected God and accepted someone, something else. Paul goes on to talk about how they made images and that sort of thing. They worshiped and served created things rather than the creator who is forever praised. Amen. Now, what I didn't get to yesterday is some might say, well, wait a second. We're not worshiping idols out here. They worship idols maybe in the East somewhere and in India and that kind of place. Oh, really? We don't worship idols? Take a look around you and look at the things that we celebrate on a month-to-month basis, okay? Remember, an idol is not always just a physical structure that you put together. The idol that you serve is the desire of your heart. As one minister said, or one author, I don't know who said it first, but show me what you covet, and I'll show you your idol. Show me what you put in front of God, and I'll show you your idol. Show me what you are trusting for the hope of the future, and I will show you your idol. All of these things apply. And what Paul is simply pointing to here in Romans is that the reason the world is the way it is because the world has rejected God. And y'all, when we reject God and tell him that we don't have any use for him, we needn't be surprised when our lives indicate that and when they fall apart. And if I don't, and if you don't see that that is what is going on in the world around you, that things are falling apart, that everything from history being destroyed to values being lost. Like for instance, the latest thing. I joked about Mr. Potato Head yesterday. But now it's Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss, y'all. Dr. Seuss has been canceled. And this is, again, I'm trying to be very careful because I'm not trying to make this political, because this is not about politics. This is about accepting God. And you might say, well, it's not like Dr. Seuss is Christian. That's not my point. My point is that that is the latest manifestation of the lunacy that results from making yourself God and giving yourself that right of eternal judgment. That's what our cancel culture is really all about. But nevertheless, y'all, these are just small examples. Forget about my examples because they are lacking. Always lacking. Today, where we come in Romans 1, we will see God's prime example for what it looks like when the world has rejected him and turns to foolery. What it looks like in the world that has no use for God. Now, I'm going to start this in a second with just a caveat, a warning. But before I do that, I'd like to say good morning to everybody who is with us live that has commented. I see Rose, good morning, and Monica, good morning, and Becky, and then there's Christine, good morning, and Alice, good morning, and oh no, Kyle is here, and Kelly. Kelly's great, but Kyle is a colleague of mine, a fellow minister. Now I've got to worry about charges coming up against me. I'm only kidding. Kyle is a good man. And then there's Wayne, good morning, and Marianne, good morning. Okay, so where I come to today, and also good morning to all of you that I know that are there that have not commented. You don't have to comment, but it's good to see everybody. All right, so let me start off this morning, because where I'm coming to, I've already alluded to the fact that I've given a few examples of the lunacy of the world around us, but God is about to give a prime example of what it looks like when the world rejects him. Realize this, okay? What I'm going to say, forget about what I say. What I'm about to read in God's word is just that. This is God's word. I didn't write it. I agree with it, but I'm not the author, okay? I'm the messenger. And in this world that shoots messengers, I understand the risk of bringing this out. And I understand the risk of doing this on a public platform like Facebook, because what I'm going to read today is still legal in the United States for me to read. Facebook might drop me. I hope that they don't. If they do, sermonaudio.com, okay? And then we'll work something out. But nevertheless, and it's sermonaudio.com/oldprovidence. But nevertheless, these are not my words. These are the words of the Holy God. If they offend you, then you are saying that God has offended you. If you dismiss them, this is not about you saying, ah, forget about Malthus. It's too early in the morning. He didn't have his coffee, or he's on another hobby horse here. That's not what this is. These are the words of God for all mankind in his word that he has given to reveal his will and to show himself. So if you have a problem with this, your problem is with the Almighty God. And with that being said, after we finish, or after what we covered yesterday, the last verse was verse 23 that we covered yesterday. The people exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. It says, now this is further answering the question, what's going on in the world? It says in verse 24, therefore, Right? What's the therefore? Therefore, the therefore is there, in line with everything that's been said about the wrath of God being poured out and people rejecting God. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. All right, so realize this too. Where God starts with this is sexual impurity. A lot of times we have a tendency to jump right to verse 25 and say, aha, sexual impurity means fill in the blank. But realize that sexual impurity is a broad thing. You know what sexual impurity is? Sexual impurity is sexual relations with anyone but your spouse. One man, one woman coming together in marriage. That is the purpose, or that is the place for sexual activity. Period. The end. All right. And by the way, don't forget about all the other things scripture says about getting divorced and getting remarried and getting divorced and getting remarried. That too falls under the category of sexual impurity if you do not have a biblical reason to be divorced. There are biblical justifications for divorce. We're not going down that road today because that is not the focus of our study. But realize this. Sexual relations are to be between one man and one woman, period, the end. Okay? Under the bonds of marriage, excuse me. Under the bonds of marriage. So any sort of sexual expression outside of marriage between one man and one woman is sexual impurity. So that's the foundation here. Okay? Then he continues. Now, that's what it says God gave them over to. But remember, the overall heading of this is fools do foolish things. People have rejected God with their minds, and so therefore God gave them over to the foolish desires of their heart. Verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God, or excuse me, not verse 25, verse 27, or excuse me, verse 26. No, I'm wrong. Sorry about that. Verse 25. They exchanged, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked this morning. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, verse 26, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. Now, it's fascinating how Paul is talking here. He's using this ideology of even their women have gone over to this. 2,000 years ago is still the same kind of scenario here where men get crazy, men do crazy things, men are more prone to follow the sinful desires of their heart. But in this scenario that Paul is describing, and again, the scenario is God is pouring out his wrath, God is removing his hand of gracious mercy from people, he's turning them over to their sinful desires. And the enunciating statement of this is even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. Y'all, the primary example that God uses to point to of a society that is falling apart, of a world that has rejected him and has been turned over to its own desires, is homosexuality. Not my words, not this is not about my teaching or my hobby horse. This is what God said. He continues, verse 27. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Now, y'all, this is where we need to pay careful attention to God's word, because all sorts of hermeneutical acrobatics have been done that revolve around this. People have said everything from, oh, well, this is just a cultural thing because of what was going on in Rome, and it doesn't really apply today because homosexuals are different today. Really? Have you ever? And I'm asking this, please understand, I am not recommending this. But have you ever seen footage of a gay pride parade? Y'all, there's this thing going on in our culture where on every television program, the kindest, most articulate, wisest, smartest, best dressed, funniest, quickest person is always the homosexual. They are the paradigm of virtue in every way, shape, and form, and they are the person that everyone else wants to be. But if you've seen a gay pride parade, my goodness, y'all, you want to talk about sordid, and again, not my word, God's word, perversion. Y'all, there's something that nobody talks about anymore, and it's the AIDS epidemic. The question is, what does it mean they received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion? Biblically speaking, I think this has many different allusions. I think the ultimate one is that people rejected God, is so God has rejected them. Right? I think that's the ultimate expression of this. But in this life, there is a penalty. The AIDS epidemic is a very real thing. Now we have all sorts of medicines now that have improved AIDS dramatically. And no, I know that AIDS is not a disease that is reserved exclusively for homosexuals. Other people can get it. Y'all, don't buy into all the garbage that's out there, please. Everything is so political now. You can't say one thing without it being determined that you mean another thing. But y'all, we got to get real about something. We have got to get real about the penalty for their perversion and how that relates to the world around us today. Even the term gay is an improper term. And I had a pastor once that said this. And I don't think I fully understood it at the time, but he said that's the most improper term in the world because the term gay is so inappropriate because gay people are anything but gay. They are not happy people. Really and truly, if you look at everything from the suicide rate, and no, that's not because society makes it so hard to be gay. Look around you, y'all. Do you think that our society really makes it difficult to be gay? It is celebrated in every single way, shape, and form. We have Gay History Month. On Facebook, everybody's profile changes to a straight rainbow. It is so glorified, so much so that I've heard that 1 in 6 children now, right? So 0 to 18, 1 in 6 identify as gay. And this is up dramatically from. I think Generation X was 2% of Generation X said that they were either homosexual or bisexual. My generation, technically, I'm a millennial because I was born in 1981, it jumped up to 9%. Now it's around 16%. Y'all, it has never been easier to be gay in the Western world, in the United States. People get canceled, bakeries in Colorado get ransacked, all this stuff because of hate here. Yet they're still throwing gay people off the top of buildings in Iran. And it's fascinating that all of the push for gay rights, nobody ever goes to Muslim countries and does this. Isn't that intriguing? I guess it's not a problem there. It's kind of like the pollution thing. Everybody comes and jumps on us. Meanwhile, there's a patch of garbage that's come out of China that's the size of Texas floating around the Pacific Ocean. But nobody talks to the Chinese about pollution, right? Because that's where we get all of our stuff from. But I digress. So we've got to get real about what's going on in the world around us. And the primary example that God gives to show just how broken our world is homosexuality. Now, why do I keep harping on this? I keep harping on this because of what's going on in the church today. And it's widespread, y'all, that instead of calling sin, sin, instead of loving people enough to say what you are doing, how you have chosen to live, is contrary to God's word. Instead of loving people enough to give them Jesus, we give them, quote, acceptance. And we help them along the way in their pattern of sinfulness. Now, let me be clear. Is it that sin, is it that homosexuality is the unforgivable sin? No, God does call it shameful. He does call it a perversion. But is it the worst sin and you can be anything but a homosexual and be great? No, gossip will send you to hell just as quick as homosexuality will. All right? So let's be real about that too. But the difference is this. With homosexuality in the modern American church, this is something that has become celebrated. It's something that has become accepted. It's an evidence of love for other people if you say, hey, we accept you just the way you are. But imagine applying that same logic to other sins. You'd never do that. Especially with a young person today. Think about homosexuality with young people. It is something so celebrated, right? If a young person comes out as gay, oh, he's so brave. We should encourage him. We should love him. We should just, that is him accepting his true self. Imagine doing that with a teenager that is an alcoholic or a kleptomaniac or an arsonist. Could you imagine applying that same line of reasoning? We live in a world that tells teenagers, and not even teenagers, we live in a world that tells children that they need to embrace their homosexuality. Can you imagine telling an 8-year-old playing with matches, you know what, Tommy? I see you playing with those matches. It's because you really like fire, right? It's because that's who you are on the inside. You know what, Tommy? To be true to yourself, to really be true to yourself and to really be brave, you should probably go burn down that abandoned building because we support you, Tommy. We would never do that. That would be the most ludicrous idea ever, because you'd say, that's arson. You can't do that. Yet, biblically speaking, homosexuality is a sin, like arson is a sin, like thievery is a sin. You got a kid that loves shoplifting. Can you imagine saying to some kid, hey, you know what, Johnny, in order for you to be true to yourself, you really should go in. I don't even know what stores kids go to anymore, but God, sounds so old. But you should really go to Best Buy and you should steal those headphones because in doing so, you'll be so brave. You'll be true to yourself. Again, that sounds so ridiculous because we would never glorify theft. But if we would never glorify that sin, why would we glorify these sins? Because society tells us to? Because it's what's popular right now. Remember the society that we're living in. We're living a society on which God's wrath is being poured out. Y'all follow the line of reasoning in Romans 1 and you will see what is going on in the world around you. Now, again, let me be clear about something. What I'm talking about today, I would be labeled as hate speech, as a homophobe. This has nothing to do with fear. Being afraid of homosexuality? Come on, y'all. That is the most messed up psychological thing that it's an excuse. We live in this world that rejoices over that which should make it mourn. And it laughs over that which should make it weep, and vice versa. We live in this world now where if you see a pregnant woman at a bar smoking, if you see anybody smoking now, oh, smoking is disgusting. Now let's go have Gay Pride Month. Anyway, nevertheless, I'm not telling you to start smoking, but we live in this world that is so twisted and messed up. If you see a pregnant woman smoking, you'd say, oh, that's disgusting. That is so irresponsible. Don't you know what that would do? Yet, if she goes and she kills her child the day before her due date, oh, she's so brave. Oh, she's standing up for rights. She is celebrating her rights as a woman. How messed up is that? But y'all, we shouldn't be surprised because fools say and do foolish things. This is the consequence of rejecting God. Verse 28, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Y'all, if you don't see the world around us as falling immediately and directly into Romans 1:28, that the result of what is going on in the world around us is the fact that God has given the world over to a depraved mind, I don't know what to do to help you see it. This is the world around you. Verse 29, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. Oh, aren't these lists fascinating? Again, if you come to Romans 1 and the only thing that you conclude is homosexuality is bad, read the rest of it, my friends. If you want to know about the manifestation of what a world that rejects God looks like, yes, God starts with homosexuality, but he ends up at children that don't obey their parents. We'll come back to this tomorrow, this list, but they are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And what a capstone there. This world of ours that pretends to be so kind, so accepting, so advanced. We are ruthless. We are killers. In the same time that we celebrate a new president that's so refreshing because he doesn't say mean things online, we just bombed Syria. At least we got our $2,000 checks. Oh, wait, you didn't get yours yet. Well, I guess they had their priorities straight in bombing third world countries. Yeah, I don't know what the numbers are, but the best thing I've seen about this is we have a teenager 4,000 miles away manning a $15 million drone and firing $200,000 bombs to destroy a cardboard hut in Syria. Again, I know that's political, but I'm not going to apologize for it because these, yet again, are the manifestations of what's going on in the world around us, y'all. We are not advanced. We may have advanced technology, but we are not advanced people. We may claim to be caring and loving and happy and joyful. We are ruthless. We're ruthless. And again, I'll come back to this tomorrow. But the way that this chapter ends is, although they know God's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And the reason I want to end with that, and I'll pick up with this tomorrow, is this. Y'all, you have the list of the things that people do, and then you have those who approve them. According to Romans 1, in terms of guilt and in terms of judgment, there's no difference. What you condone matters. What you glorify matters. And I say that to myself as well, knowing that I'm not perfect on these things, I assure you. Kyle is here. Kyle knows me in ways that other people don't because we're both pastors and we can talk and be real with one another. And it's not that I'm not trying to be real with you, but that's just how this thing works, okay? Nevertheless, I'm not perfect on this stuff. But the point is this, y'all. We've got to get real about realizing what's going on in the world around us. Gone is the time of pretending that I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. Gone is the time of thinking, well, you know, this is just a temporary thing and we'll turn around. And no, there's only one answer to all of this. And it goes back to the start of Romans 1. And it's the power of God that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, turn to him today. If you do know him, and if you see the degradation of the world around us and you want to know what to do, you won't vote your way out. You won't argue your way out. It will only be the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves this world. I've gone way over. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for your word, even the parts that so many people reject, even the parts that make us feel uncomfortable. And may it not ever be so that we can point at one sin and say, aha, see, I'm so much better. Yet when we look at the other lists that you give us in Romans 1, ooh, we all fit in there somehow, some way. We praise you for forgiveness in Jesus Christ, that there is good news, that our salvation isn't dependent on us working our way to you, but instead we are saved by grace through faith alone, to the glory of God alone, in Christ alone. And because of this, help us to not be distracted. Help us to see the world for what it is, because you've revealed it to us here. And in seeing the world for what it is, help us to be about your business in it. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank everyone for being a part of this time this morning. If you are reporting me to some type of official, I thank you for being here too. And it's my hope that the truth of the gospel will come forward to you and that the Lord would change your heart. Hopefully, I am here tomorrow morning. You never know. We might be banned by then. And no, I'm not kidding. This is the world that we live in. Just remember, if this is the last time that you hear me speak, let everything that I've said fade away. God's word will never fade away. If you got a problem with what I've read, if you got a problem with what I've said, fine, right? Because I'm a fallible human. But you can't do away with God's word. It will always stand. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Ashley and Karen. Thank you so much. And amen indeed, Terry. Y'all have a great day.